This is what you understood intuitively. They start to feel the difference of not manipulating people and just being honest and being who they were and letting the rest go, letting the results go, letting the worry, the number in their checking account, just not thinking about that, which I know is difficult. But they started to feel what it felt like to, quote unquote, market in that way and to interact with their clients in that way. And the feeling then took over. And that became the motivating factor.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green. Please stay tuned to the end of the episode to hear boring yet important disclosures. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast, and I am super excited. I have my former co-host as my guest, Tammy Brennan. She has not been on the show for a long time because she's Miss Popular now. And I am so happy to have Tammy Brennan, founder of The Blueprint Process, on this podcast. Thank you, Tammy.
No, thanks, Ken. It's so good to see you in your Joey hat again.
No, everyone listening, you're not going to see me in the Joey hat, but this is my thinking hat. So thank you. But Tammy sees me. Thank you so much for coming on. It has been a long time. Now, obviously, we stay in close touch because I'm still a student of yours. And we talk on a monthly basis, whether I want to or not. You make me talk. But I thought it would just be great to have you on this episode. I've had some wonderful guests on, and I thought it would be nice to have you back on as a guest and not the co-host. And so thank you, Tammy.
No, thank you. I appreciate it.
You know how I'm Captain Impromptu because I hate outlines.
Yes.
And I hate agendas. But the agenda essentially for this episode, I know a fair amount of, I don't know for sure, but people have reached out to me in comments, meetings. I have a pretty good understanding. I know a lot of entrepreneurs listen to the show. I know financial advisors listen to the show and business owners. And when it comes to marketing, you have a very unique approach to this. And I think it's important for anyone listening that wants to grow their business, wants to grow their advisory business, wants to grow their insurance agency, or just a better way to live life, really. Forget the marketing side. You have a very different approach in how you teach your clients on how to market themselves and how to market their company. And I always screw up this term. I just know it's a triangle and it involves peanut butter and jam and something else. I struggle on the conceptual, Tammy, but I figured maybe it'd be great to talk about, hey, let's talk about the blueprint process, because I know what it was from the beginning, relatively, and how it's evolved. And now you've created a bunch of duplicates out there too, teaching the blueprint process. So I thought that'd be fun. Explain what the process is, what you do, and then maybe we can talk about the marketing side and how you've helped out a lot of your clients. I would argue, A, I know it's the right approach, but a very unique approach compared to most marketing advertising people out there that you would talk to. So how's that for my question for you?
Perfect and great introduction. And actually, the blueprint process and the peanut butter and jelly marketing go really well together. I work mostly with entrepreneurs because entrepreneurs have this amazing flexibility within what they do for a living to put out messages that aren't just about what they do. When you're trapped in a job, it's much more difficult to do that. You have to go by the job description. But as an entrepreneur, you can customize your business to match who you are. And I recommend that's exactly what we need to be doing. So the blueprint process identifies who it is you are and how you bring value to the world. And then, of course, it helps you adapt your business so that you're doing exactly that. So way back in the day when we first identified your blueprint, as we were identifying all the aspects of your blueprint, we were looking for ways that you use that in your business. And we do that for a couple of reasons. We want your business to match you, Ken, so that you actually have more fun doing what you do. You're not doing what you do just to make a buck, just to get new clients, just to grow your business. You're doing it because you believe in it. It has within your business your inherent passions and philosophies, and it uses your natural skills. So it really sets you up not only for success, but fulfillment. So then the marketing aspect of that is, okay, there's this one other piece, and that is we've got to bring you your people. We can't just bring you masses of people. And that's what typical marketing tries to do because it believes out of the masses, you need masses in order to be able to make enough money to keep your business afloat. So the blueprint process believes in, as you identified, a little bit of a different approach in that, no, actually, your business will do much, much better if you just seek your ideal people. the people that really align with your blueprint. They align with who you are and what you believe in. And that way, and I know you know this because, as you say, you're an early adopter of this because you just do this naturally. You do a couple things naturally, Ken, that really work well with not only the blueprint process, but also the marketing approach of the blueprint process. And that is, you believe that when you are working with an individual, it should be fun. Mm-hmm. You've believed that for a long time.
It has to be, or it's not moving forward.
I totally agree. And I would argue that's true for absolutely everybody, but how that looks is different. And I remember a time you were talking about a particular person, a particular couple, in fact, a husband and wife, and you were looking for how they responded to your jokes.
No.
And if they laughed at your jokes, that was one of your cues. Okay, yes, these are my people. And then you knew, just inherently, you understood, if they laugh at my jokes, if they're picking up what I'm putting down and we're really getting along, we're going to have a good lifelong relationship. And that's such a powerful aspect of the blueprint process. Figure out who you are, be who you are in your business, and work with the people that really pick up what you're putting down.
Yeah, thank you. And yes, that is, I typically know within a minute of a phone call if upon the right fit, if we're the right fit.
Yeah.
And as my wife, and you've heard, I'm sure this has been repeated numerous times on this podcast, and you've heard me say this, like my wife has pointed out, not everyone likes my jokes, right? Not everyone finds me funny.
Right.
And, but that has naturally been a way I figure out real quick if someone resonates for me. And satire is a two-edged sword. I'm a huge fan, two-edged sword. I'm a big fan of satire. However, you have to measure the intelligence of your audience as well. And so you can make a joke, and if they don't get it, that's a distinguisher too. This isn't the right fit. I'm not the right person to help. But no, thanks for pointing that out. And the who you are part, isn't that? Yes, that was really probably one of the biggest things for me. And I remember I had your blueprint laid out on the floor. Our daughter was still living with us. And my wife, I had it laying on the floor, and they both were looking at it. That wasn't for them. So I actually felt, hey, don't look at that. I was a little embarrassed, but they're looking at all these things you had out on the circles. And you knew I fought you on this big time, because like the two greatest fears I had was starting this podcast, getting behind a microphone, and letting someone get in my head. And so I hit those right off the bat to just get out of the way. And I did not like Tammy B, who's cloud to cloud, get happy, where I can naturally be skeptical and not so happy, looking for things to fix. And because I love it, I love troubleshooting, I love designing, but how much transformation have I had where the choices we make and how we can address things, we can still tackle projects, but and not be disturbed by them. We can be happy. But yeah, having you get in my head, but having that, all that laid out on the floor, on the map, I come in and I was a little embarrassed at first. And then both Laura and my wife said, oh, wow, this is you. You summarize everything that resonated about me. And the biggest takeaway, so A, I was very proud that they loved it. It's like, wow, this is you. And boy, do we have some keywords we pulled from that, like top 10 out of 60 plus words that are in there. And prior, and one of those most profound was I absolutely want to elevate others. Yep. It's a passion for me. I live vicariously through other people's successes. It just makes me happy. I'm not happy for them. It makes me happy. Yep. When I get to see someone get to go on, they go on their trip and they're sharing pictures in Hawaii. They're sharing their experiences on another neat trip. They're sharing a new car or toy they bought. That was probably the hardest things for me when I let go of my property and casualty business years ago when I sold it. I sold that off. Didn't like arguing with the insurance companies, and I didn't like dealing with the. I love seeing the new toys that they were getting because celebrate their successes, getting to see, hey, congrats on the new house. Congrats on this is awesome. Just being a part of it. But that blueprint process, having that laid out, that made me proud that they definitely loved what you helped me pull out. And the biggest takeaway for me from that is I was no longer, for the longest time in my life, I was apologizing for who I was. And what I mean by that is this goes to bad habits. I know I'm difficult, right? And I don't want to say I'm difficult. It's just, I have a standard that I want. And if we're not going to do a project at that level, then then let's not do it. And you've helped me out a lot of this on a monthly basis, perfecting. And I know there's no such thing as perfecting, but constantly just having progress, right? Getting the better and better team around me. Like years ago, I hired a bookkeeping company. What a disaster that was. I'm like, no, doing it all myself again. Should I really be doing it myself? No. But having that standard, at the end of last year, got a phenomenal bookkeeper. Having that standard, phenomenal CPA. Having that standard, phenomenal cybersecurity and IT support. Having that standard, I've got El Doce as an executive assistant. Follow through is not my strongest thing. I like to take shortcuts. I just want to move. I like to troubleshoot, where now, based on all the work, that was my biggest takeaway. I literally got El Doce. And if you haven't seen the Boondock Saints, it's just you put my assistant in motion, you give her a task. She does not let go on her follow through that is complete. That's so great. Having that team.
Yeah.
And then that's what all came from the blueprint for me was when I walked out, it's like I was no longer apologizing for who I was. I was celebrating it.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's okay to be me. And I understand 99% of the population probably would not enjoy being with me. However, the 1%,
yeah,
my people, what a fun way to go through life.
Exactly.
Thank you, Tammy B. Also, by the way, thank you for holding my hand as a co-host. So, because I did not like monologuing and you helped me grow and grow. Still don't really care for monologuing. Although I just spoke for the last 5 minutes straight. So I've improved. But anyway, that I wanted to share that, who you are, and you're sharing my tricks on how I figure out who I like real quick.
Yeah.
And who I don't. But so the blueprint process. And so what's the next segue? Talking about the marketing piece or how you've been helping people? What else do you want to share about Blueprint and what you're doing, which I do think is contrary to most of the marketing industry?
Thank you.
And it's right way to move forward.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I actually really enjoy being a contrarian, but it's fun to be a contrarian for contrarian's sake, because as you identified, not everybody likes who you are. And so we grow up with that notion that we have to defend who we are, or we have to try to be someone that we're not. And that is the worst travesty that I can ever imagine, is someone not fulfilling who they are in this world, because we're all needed for exactly who we are. So I really appreciate all the work that you've gone through. And I know there's still plenty of work to come, but in slowly customizing your life, all of your life, to allow you to be you. And a key component of that is finding people who jive with that and find value in that. And now you're at a much different place where, for the most part, with team as well as with people that you help on a daily basis, you're working with people predominantly now who really pick up what you're putting down and appreciate you for you. And that's so exciting to me. That's the whole point of the blueprint process.
I would say 100% now, Tammy. 99.9%. 100%. Now it's real close. And you're absolutely right. And then, boy, you saw when I first got in this industry, auto and home insurance, I always help people riding it on their bicycles so they can get DUI insurance.
Oh, bless them. Yeah.
Because I wanted to help. But you see the commission structure on that. So I'm making like $5. But I don't want to see anyone's livelihood taken away. And I'm not passing. Obviously, people make mistakes. But by the way, to explain what SR-22, that's for someone who gets hit with a DUI citation driving. And sometimes they're guilty, sometimes not guilty. But at the same time, they have to go out and get a livelihood so they can fix their mistake.
Sure.
And what do you do? But the insurance companies, most of them, they don't like it, understand why. So they lose their insurance.
Right.
And then there's a whole level of rust. I didn't even spend time talking about stupid DUI insurance. But anyway, yes, it's very nice going from a huge spectrum back at the end of 2008, where I wanted to please everyone, to we can't control that. We can just be who we are and create win-win scenarios and do everything we can to elevate others. And then we just know who we resonate. And there's 99% of the other population that others will resonate with.
That's right.
I'm not open to all these different ideas and different approaches. Of course, as you know, a lot of people on the show know, listen to this podcast, I love hearing different approaches.
Yeah.
I want to see all these different ideas that maybe I'm missing.
Yeah.
There's just so much out there. So I'm always open to it, but it doesn't mean you're creating strategic partnerships and relationships with all these different personalities out there.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. It just saves a lot of time and a lot of energy and effort if you recognize that not everybody out there is someone that you're supposed to work with. And so you just go with that easy connection. And then, oh my gosh, because you save so many resources working with people that are your people, you're able to do so much more for the world as a community than you could have had you tried to bring in anybody and everybody, which to your point is typical marketing. So for the way that Blueprint does marketing, as you referenced to Peanut Butter and Jelly Triangle, The important piece about that is when you're marketing, you're not just talking about what it is that you do, what your service or product is, but you're also sharing who you are as a person. So your marketing, instead of attracting anyone and everyone, starts acting as a filter. And it's drawing to you the people who are your people and not drawing to you the people who are not your people. So you end up, that saves you even more time because you're not having to filter them when once they come through the door. You're not having to do that at all anymore because you're putting out clearly who you are and what you stand for. And you attract people who stand for the same.
I always thought you were calling it jam. And I realized that you say jelly. I prefer jelly. So it's peanut butter and jelly. So not peanut butter and jam.
It could go either.
You're okay either way.
Yeah.
This approach, teaching entrepreneurs that you represent, any resistance to what you are teaching and your marketing strategy? Or is it just fully embraced by all your entrepreneurial?
No, because this has been the default for so long. Much like it's the default in our world to try to change who you are to get the approval of others, that's the default. And that's wrong too, as you identified. It's also wrong to try to get anybody and everybody. But yeah, that's the typical approach because it honestly, sadly, comes from a scarcity mindset, belief that you've got to attract thousands, if not millions of people in order to get enough of the piece of the pie for your business to stay afloat. It's a really, really sad and stressful place for you to find yourself in as an entrepreneur. And I believe it's 100% incorrect. That you're built to help certain people in this world. And you find them just as you've identified, you can find them very quickly. Everybody knows that at some point upon meeting someone for the first time, whether at a networking event or at a social event or at church or whatever, out on the street, you get a sense immediately whether they're your person or not. And imagine how business would be different for you if you were just working with people who pick up what you're putting down. They like you. They get your jokes. They enjoy being around you and they want your service or product. It makes all the difference in the world. And I believe that we cannot do what we need to do here in this world without attracting those people, building that community and seeing then what the community can do with its combined effort.
Now, one area I know I struggled with a lot of things when I came on as a student of yours. And so I was resistant on a lot. The one area I know, because we've had discussions about this where I was a star pupil, was the fact that I naturally, the way I serve and represent and do things for people is I'm all focused about, and you mentioned to me in some coaching, I was like a great case to teach on, and you can share about this part. I just want to make sure if I got it right. So I'm trying to pat myself on the back. But yeah, naturally all my life, I just like elevating others. I've always enjoyed being a great host. I've always enjoyed, not that I'm the most social person. I've had social distancing down all my life, well before COVID. I'm an introvert. But when I am out and I am with people and I am hosting an event or having people come out on the boat or go skiing with me or coming to the beach or whatever, I really want everyone to have a wonderful time. It's important to me. And so when it's come to, and it was probably one of the best marketings I did, which I discovered it. And right when I got in the industry, end of 08, I was so furious that when I learned how my insurance was never written correctly to protect my auto insurance, I was like, whoever comes in my door, I do not care if they become a client. I want to see their declaration pages. I want to see how it's structured. I want to see what they want to accomplish. Just everything about I could on just auto insurance. And I would say 2 out of 3 times, because I was captive with one carrier at the time, 2 out of 3 times for a year, I would say, you know what? This is the changes I would look at doing. I would go call your current insurance agent and make those changes. And they're looking at me because they know it's all commission. Like, it's crazy. You're not going to try to get my business. I said, I can't look at you and say our company, they're all A-rated companies. That's better than the one you're with. And I couldn't look at you and say that. You should make these changes, in my opinion. Go talk to your agent. You're going to have better protection. I would say 99% of the time, their prices were way better too on how I would structure them. But it doesn't make sense to switch to me. And so now that is a very painful business model, Sam. But I didn't understand the term at the time. I learned it years ago, and I might have learned it from you, but the law of reciprocity, you go pay it forward, it comes back to you tenfold. I just telling the truth, what I thought was the best thing for me to do, did not help my bank account at all. Now, with that said, The one part I was clever on, and it wasn't to be clever, but it was like, hey, now with that said, are you open to me giving you a call a year from now if our rates become competitive? Thank God I asked that question. Because when rates did become competitive, and because I was putting their interest first, not a happy bank account for years, boy, did that come back tenfold later. And the beauty of the referrals you got, because they saw integrity, they saw I was being genuine. And me, who's a marketing moron, that was marketing brilliance, which you helped me identify years ago. And it's like, that was already naturally doing right. And it was so cool to hear that, hey, I'm 10 for 10 on that side. There's one thing I got nailed down.
Yeah,
so can you speak to that, Tammy, and how you've helped, it's nice I did it right. How was that right? And what kind of, does that get embraced or you get resistance from your clients on that approach?
Yeah, I definitely get resistance. You were unusual but if you look in your blueprint, if everybody here got any access to Ken's blueprint there on the floor, that's hopefully not on the floor anymore.
No, it's not. It's actually rolled in a tube since an office move a year ago.
Oh,
I need to get it back on the wall. Sorry, Tammy.
Oh, that's quite all right. But yeah, actually, if you were to look in your blueprint, you would see that I was just putting into some kind of formality what you already had in your blueprint. That's why you were an early and easy adopter to it, because it was just natural for you to do that. You stumbled upon the genius of that just because that's who you are. You were being you. When you were looking at that particular person's situation, their insurance and everything else, you identified in your own mind, it's best if they just stay the course. And yes, I could earn some money if I switched them, but that would not be best for them. You knew that. And you also knew, because of your integrity, that you couldn't go home that night and look at your face in the mirror and feel good about yourself.
I didn't feel good about that. If you saw how many appointments I had back then and the amount of turn, when I say turn, like you have to see a lot of people for auto and home insurance and the commitment, the financial commitment and working 3-4 weeks straight and just a machine. It was insane. I went from engineering full time and the whole economy stopped. And it was a pretty impressive budget I had per month to survive. And all of a sudden I went from working 50, 60 hours a week, strong six-figure income to all of a sudden I was elated after a month because I helped a family get a well-written auto insurance, in my opinion, well-written auto insurance policy, a home insurance policy, two-term life insurance policies, which I just thought was the most incredible thing learning about life insurance back then. And I made like $350 in commission that month. So I worked 100? I must have worked like 200 plus, 240 hours, right? That month.
Right.
Going from six-figure income, and I made not even $400. And wow. Now the thing that's interesting, I was elated. Now my bank account was elated.
Right.
And that became a very painful financial process for me. But yes, that's the delayed gratification. So maybe you want to speak to that, because I understand the opportunity costs of, so it was like a year or so, Tammy, of just 2 out of 3 people. I was like, it just doesn't make sense to switch. I'm an insurance agent. So I want to be careful I say this, like it's just different industries. When you look at advisory firms out there, they're fiduciaries. So legally, they're obligated by law to do what's in the best interest of their clients.
Right.
Where on the insurance side, very good intentioned people, but there's a big difference between best interest and suitable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I can see. So yes, I didn't have any resistance, which you're teaching people. It's like, hey, you just say this, putting it forward. But yeah, can you talk about that more? Because that'd be interesting. Like, well, why the resistance, other than what I just shared of you being poor for a long time?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I actually think it's from that scarcity mindset. Again, it's just so contrary. And anytime a contrary theory is presented, no matter what it is, the 4-minute mile, for example, electricity, people are going to be moving pictures, you name it, any new invention, the bulk of people are going to be no way. And they'll give up on it before they even try. And then there's a whole spectrum. Then there's some other people who are like, maybe. And what I've heard from a lot of people after they've adopted it is in the beginning, they were very skeptical, but there was enough about me that they liked and trusted.
That's faith. They took a leap of faith.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what
maybe
was their experience?
Yeah. And then the next thing kicks into gear and they start to feel the difference. And this is what you understood intuitively. They start to feel the difference of not manipulating people and just being honest and being who they were and letting the rest go. Letting the results go, letting the worry, the number in their checking account, just not thinking about that, which I know is difficult. But they started to feel what it felt like to quote unquote market in that way and to interact with their clients in that way. And the feeling then took over and that became the motivating factor. And of course, now they're all on different spectrums now, as you are representing the number of people, the percentage of people that are their people versus not their people. And they're just constantly growing in that. Here's the cool thing. Once you get on the other side of that hump, you start making that change and you're starting to just exclusively work with your people. Pretty soon, those people who aren't your people, they are, like you said, they are so loyal to you and they so get where you're coming from. They cannot help but brag about you.
What's fun is that loyalty is both ways, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Like lifelong relationships.
Yep. So
and
now
so each other's going above and beyond to improve the relationship.
That's a really good point. So now you've got the 1+1=3 effect. Mm-hmm. And that's where the whole community, when you get your community together, community meaning your clients, your ideal clients, it is unreal what those people all together can do. That's a resource that we've yet to tap into, myself included. But I'm super excited to start to see that. So your point is well taken. And then back to the people who were skeptical at first, unlike you, once they started to attract just their people and work with just their people and really started to feel the energy of that, their clients started becoming their best marketers, going out and bragging about them and bringing them more ideal people to work with. So these people are having to put less and less money into marketing because typical marketing just doesn't really do this. It doesn't really work for this.
And what a grind. I'm sure with enough numbers, it works. But I stopped engineering full time to run my other companies full time to educate on finances and help people on insurance and financial situation. I love doing this show. And people see the financial commitment and I do it for free. They think I'm insane. But again, it's amazing when you put that stuff out there and you do your best to create a lot of value for others and you do it for free. That kind of law of reciprocity comes back to you tenfold.
Yeah.
It's just pure joy and it's a lot of fun. Now, on the scarcity mindset, I'm probably not the best promoter where I just said to everyone on the show that, hey, you follow this process. Now, I'm sure Tammy's is way refined compared to what I went through, like you said, naturally. But yeah, for me, I was poor for a long time. Yeah. I mean, but you see the pressure too. And I can understand why people would resist. I do get it when you have strong, especially going to these captive insurance agencies to sell auto insurance or sell home insurance, they have very strong numbers you have to hit.
Oh, sure.
At least in the past. And so you got to hit these numbers. And you see what some of these advisory firms do, and they bring on the recruits. And they're very good organizations, I would argue, for education and training and training their employees. But they also put them through a grind to see if they've got the chops to go above and beyond and just go after it, and be told no thousands of times. But then that's how they know they've got their fighter, that they've gone through that great purge. A company I was contracted with on a 1099, they must have lost, I would say within 3 months, I would say 95. I don't know the exact numbers on this, so I shouldn't use numbers, but the majority dropped off these agents because they could not handle that kind of pressure. And right. Here you got me who doesn't like quitting. So I was just, maybe it's a pride thing. I just don't like losing. And I like to win. And so you just keep grinding. But then to then say no to an opportunity you could have earned because it didn't make sense. And I think it's interesting. Use the word manipulate. So I want to ask you about that, what you mean by that.
Okay.
Because yes, I could have. There's one thing to influence. There's one thing to lead. For sure. I think there's a lot of intelligent people out there that can easily manipulate others. What a crappy way to go through life. I never would ever want to manipulate someone. And I've had arguments in the past with coaches in the past. I've had arguments with a good friend who's very good in real estate. When he was selling, he was in a different industry selling. He was like, hey, manipulating is good for them. Well, no, it's not. It's manipulative. And I think that it's in the intention too. It's one thing to educate. It's one thing to guide. It's one thing to show how things work. And I think it's incredibly important to be very incredibly transparent and just be absolutely 100% with integrity. Because if you go that route of manipulating someone so you can get a sale, and I talk about that law of reciprocity, holy cow, is that going to come back tenfold on you as well?
Yep.
Might not burn you today, but something might arise 5 years from now. You've totally violated that relationship and they're going to destroy it.
Yep.
It's way better to be who you are, be 100% truthful, in my opinion. And then you sleep at night. I always say the good don't sleep at night. It's like the bad that don't sleep at night. So I shouldn't use that example, right? It's the good that always sleep at night because you're afraid you've done something wrong, made a mistake. But anyway, but is that, what did you mean by manipulate? Was it the intent? What does that mean?
Yeah, you nailed it. It's when you intend, and people do this all the time, innocently, and I'm putting air quotes around it because it's like almost ignorantly they're doing it, and marketing is famous for it. If you sit down to deliver, let's say you're going to do a video or a podcast or a blog, doesn't matter. And in the back of your mind is, I want to get a new client from this. It doesn't matter what your content is. Your content could be of a completely giving nature. But if your intent is to get, trust me, the buyers out there today are so savvy, they'll pick up on that and they will feel like they're being manipulated. Painted into
a... They feel that because it's true, Tammy. And that's right. Interesting to say on the back of the mind. And by the way, if that's in someone's back of their mind, then they're not hearing what their potential client was saying in the first place because it's always in their head. Where if they just cleared it, listening to some audio the other day, like Empty Cup, where if they just cleared that and they just put it to the point, it's like, hey, show up for what you want to be for them and don't worry about the outcome. But it is interesting. I think it's... So, okay. No, that's good. Thanks for the clarification. And manipulate. I think there's a few I'm way better now when I go to these different symposiums throughout the country to learn. I have not gotten an argument with another advisor for at least a year now, which is awesome. I've arrived. I have not got an argument, probably because I just don't want to play that game anymore or understand who the audience, who the other person is. But I remember when I first got in this industry and I'm going down, flying down to get training for insurance. And this coach, like within an hour, he was just talking about all these different types of sales techniques and it absolutely felt manipulative. And so I said, hey, I respectfully disagree. And all of a sudden it turned into a big argument because there's 30 other people in the class and he has to show he's right.
Right.
And this is like over a decade ago, but it was just pure crap. They lean in, you lean in. They do this, you do that. And I'm like, what does this have to do with insurance?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
What is this about? And that's just like a cursory example. But then like, language and words and creating fear and creating greed. And then you watch our news.
Yeah.
Which it's been a long time since my co-host, but as everyone who's listened to our conversations, you'll watch the news. That's why you're cloud to cloud. You're very smart. Now I've gotten good. I'm about once a week now. I turn on once a week now for dinner. But boy, have I scaled back. And now I just crank through snippets. And of course, a lot of stuff in the markets early in the morning, but I get the bullet points. But I don't engage in that kind of monologue and dialogue that can bring in the fear and greed. But when you see all these headlines, you see the media, you see all the stuff, it's all fear and greed. It's all clickbait.
Yeah.
It's manipulative. And then you see these ads, drink this and you're going to be Joe Sixpack.
Right.
And buy this product and everyone's going to love you. And if you don't buy this product, everyone's going to hate you.
That's right.
And so I assume that's what you mean, right? By manipulation. It's just literally changing the way we're thinking, getting us to get into that lizard brain mode. So then we make, well, not a well-informed, we always make, every decision we make is emotional. And I always joke about it. I just use spreadsheets and calculators to make an emotional conclusion, go move forward on something, make an investment or do a buy or do a sale. But is that what you mean by manipulate? It's just like changing, like literally just pulling the strings, being a puppeteer, which isn't authentic. Is that what you mean by manipulate versus influence? Or
totally. Yeah. And some of the stuff that I've seen recently is they'll take hot topics, buzzwords, and try to work it into the narrative about why their product works or why their service works, taking current events, current hot topics, current things that people care about, and trying to work it in. It's 100% manipulative. So what we do with peanut butter and jelly marketing is we identify what is the gift I'm giving them. And so your brain shifts out of that rut because it's very difficult. I've noticed that with myself. Even knowing what I know, I still in the back of my mind am asking myself, is this going to be effective? And that can seem innocent. But again, if you're thinking of getting, you cannot at the same time be thinking of giving. You have to choose which
one. On the giving part, I want to share a testimonial on that. I got from this mentor years ago. And maybe one of these days I'll get him on my podcast. We'll see. And then I want you to talk about the triangle real quick, if I got you for 10 more minutes. Because I think if you can, you've had to show this to me via Zoom and in person drawing. I need to see it like on a piece of paper. You're such a great speaker. We'll see if you can break down so everyone can see it with their ears on this podcast, sure, what the peanut butter and jelly triangle is for marketing. But when you talk about, it's focus instead of what you want, focus on the giving, not on what you want from it.
Yep, exactly.
Just give with no expectations. And a few mentors, but I remember at a real estate event like 20 years ago, I thought, and I might have talked about this on a podcast, she was very sharp, very creative real estate agent and real estate brokerage in the Reno, Nevada area. And she would have people come up on stage, and boy, to have a big impact. I mean, so I was on Illusions, her, well, a lot of people have had a big impact. I'm grateful for all of it. She had all these people come up on stage and talk about how they wanted to give. And I'm so glad I didn't go on stage because I don't know if I would have passed, but no one passed. But they were getting up on stage saying, once I have this, I'm going to do this for the community.
Oh.
Once I have this, I'm going to do this. Once I've gotten to this, my bank account, I'm going to create this charity or whatever.
Yep.
And so anyway, this went on for, I don't know, felt like 15, 20 minutes. But there's no way you're getting me on stage back then. And she comes up and says, you know what? And she was really brutal. So she, I don't even think she softened it. She says, you're all wrong. You don't get it. You're not going to get any of those things. You got to give first. You go give to the community. You go give to people. You go give to your friends. You go give to family. Go give to your neighbors. You give. And that's 100% of your intention. Then all this abundance is going to seek you. Now, she said it differently, but it's the way I remember it. All this abundance will seek you out, right? All these opportunities. Once you give, then you're going to get all this stuff. And you have to give with good intention. And years ago, I don't know, it was like 5 years ago, whatever, I stopped going to these networking events because when I first got in the industry, it's like, I'm going to every networking event so I can go meet people and tell them all about me and why they should come do business with me.
Yeah.
And I hated it.
Yep.
I never wanted to go, but I was told by the agency I had to go do that, right? Yep. If I'm going to grow. And so I'm here with all these vapid people. I shouldn't say all. Because boy, I meet some nice people when I had a different approach. But everyone's not hearing what the other has to say. They're trying to say why they're the best realtor, the best financial advisor, best insurance agent, very sales servicing type oriented networks, right? Marketing and advertising people. And you can just tell when you're talking, it's like, they're not hearing a damn thing I have to say. I don't. So I was like, I'm done. I don't like going to those damn events and I don't like crowds anyway. So I don't want to do this anymore.
Right.
And then, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago at a workshop, Kate, I recommend you go to these network events, but instead of there for you, why don't you go there how you can find out how to serve others? And so that to me also made networking, and it's still very hard to get me out the office door. This is like my new home, my office, right? And it seems like I don't ever leave it. And I love the new office. So one of these days, if I ever can get you come out to Reno, Tahoe, and you go play out Lake Tahoe with me and go on the boat and stuff and see Maximus, you should see what a monster he is now, Tammy.
Oh, I can imagine. Wife.
But then I'll show you the new office. Tammy B, you are a phenomenal co-host. You're a phenomenal guest. I always love my time with you. Thank you for coming on the show. I hope that those listening to the show, that this resonates, this conversation. I would encourage you reaching out to Tammy B. Definitely, as far as, I don't want to say transformations for me and how I've grown. You're definitely a big part of that. And so thank you, Tammy B, and thank you for being a guest on the Engineer of Finance podcast. And thank you to all the listeners who listen and support the show. Thank you.
My pleasure, Ken. Thank you.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice. The content is intended for United States audiences only. Opinions expressed are as of the date of this publication, and such opinions are subject to change. Green Financial and Insurance Services Limited, Green, is not responsible for any trading decisions, damages, or other claimed losses resulting from or related to the content presented. Green makes no representation as to the completeness or accuracy of the information presented. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Forecasts are not a reliable indicator of future results. Investors should be aware of the risks associated with investing. All investments are subject to investment risk, including possible loss of capital. Investors should seriously consider if an investment is suitable for them by referencing their own financial position, investment objectives, and risk profile. Consult with a qualified financial advisor as necessary before making any investment decisions. Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.